You're listening to Give Zero, where everything matters but your feelings.
Hello, my fellow patriots. Joey Bruno here on Give Zero. We're going to talk about how to program a lib bot, the joy of frying the media, and my nuts. My nuts. Be right back.
Now your host, who gives absolutely zero fucks, Joey Bruno.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Miss Vanna Banana Fanna, for that lovely introduction. Your buddy, your fellow patriot, your Give Zero host here, Joey Bruno. I hope today finds you well on this Sunday, Valentino's Day. I hope that you are celebrating your love with someone that is your love. And if you're by yourself, you got you. And that's the one person that won't lie to you. So revel in that. Make yourself a steak. Have a piece of candy. Give yourself a hug no matter what. Good to be with you today. It is time to do our favorite thing, and that is grab your beverage and let's have a sip together. Mine today is coffee. Sure, it's coffee. I love coffee. Buy me a coffee. Here's a coffee. And it's hot. Wow. That's really, and just so you'll know, before the show started, I'm over here fighting with the Keurig. The clock's counting down. The show's about to start. Things start rolling. You push go and just things happen. And you got to get, you know, you got to get your act together, because otherwise you're going to have the introduction and the music and nobody there when it's time. And so of all days for my Keurig to decide to just not want to behave itself, it decides not to behave itself. And you can't have that kind of stuff because it's cold down here in Bama today. It's like, I don't know, 35 degrees or whatever, which I realize that's not that big of a deal. But, you know, this is Alabama. If that's like minus 20 somewhere else being 35 degrees. In short, if it's below like 75 degrees year round in Alabama, we're goners. We're gone for. It snows three flakes down here, and there's cars piled up on the interstate that looks like something out of a Mad Max movie. It's horrible. So, anyway, glad to have you here. We're going to do an extended show for you today, which we hope is fun. I'm still taking feedback from all you guys, and thank you so very much for being so awesome and giving us feedback on the show, because that's vital, because we're still growing this thing, and we're still getting, as I always say, getting our legs under us. And your input is vital, and I think it's making us have a little better product. And so we're basically doing two shows a week now, one midweek around Wednesday or so. And then we do a weekend deal, Saturday or Sunday, whichever day it comes out. But the main thing is that lets us space some kind of in between, and we can, you know, focus more on content. It's not so ad hoc, and it's just more fun that way. So, and it makes a little better, tighter presentation. And that's what I want, you know, but the main thing is the Give Zero family, which is y'all and me, and, it's a group effort, and we're all growing this thing, not only in numbers, but in quality and quantity. And, that's just so cool. It's so massively cool. So, let's get started. So I'm going to talk about, this, because a lot of you guys, when I mentioned this the other day, out there in the Twitterverse and on social media, when I talked about, we're going to talk about how to reprogram a libbot, it's like, whoa, what is that all about? So we're going to do that very thing for you. So, that's our first topic for today. So a little coffee and off we go. Damn it. That's still hot. Okay. So here's how we reprogram a libbot. So we'll get us a little science fiction-esque little bed going underneath there. Oh, that sounds good. Look at that. Listen to that. Listen to that right there. Listen to that. Oh, that's slow. That's so science fiction-y. Okay. We all know what a lib body is. Okay. Been there and done that. We know them. They're in our schools, our churches. When we go to the store, we see Karens, and we know all about them. But I really want to quantify this and get it down to some reality that we can kind of absorb and soak in and understand. So I'm just not out there spewing rhetoric. We've actually got, you know, real tangible thing to talk about. So let's talk about robots and programming in general first, you know. And we're not going to do anything too deep. I'll just go over, you know, some of the highlights. And I've got a little background on this. Back in my day, I did some programming and stuff. And so I got some sense on this. All right. Let's talk about robots first. Now, robot is just a dumb machine. It's used to repeat a task is what it does. It's a replacement for a human being, in short. You see them on assembly lines and stuff like that. But a robot has no way to think. They don't think on their own. They're just single-minded little drones that do exactly what their programming tells them to do. All right. Other words, if you've got a robot there and you turn it on, odds are if the safeties are set and everything's right, it's just going to sit there. It's not going to do a darn thing in the world. All right. So it's got to be programmed. Let's talk about programming for a second. Programs are also mindless. They don't have any way to think. They're just a, you know, set of instructions, and they accept input, and based on the program that they are, because a program's got to have input. It just can't just sit there. It's got to have some data into it. Because that's what programs do. It's what computers do. They just crunch data in some form. And they do whatever the lines of programs are told to do with that data. It goes through a set of instructions, and then it spits out output based on what that programming tells it to do. What the program says to do with this data, it does it with that data. Now, advanced programs, because you can write a really dumb program and just in and out, and there it is. I can write a program that says, show me whatever number I push on the keypad. And I push a 5 and a 5 shows up on the screen. I push a 3 shows up. So there it is. But programs can be more and more advanced based on basically just their sophistication. And that's how much work goes into the program itself. All right. So an advanced program, one of the things they do is they error check, which means they're looking at the data that's put into it. And if that data is not valid, in other words, it doesn't make sense to what it knows those lines of code that follow it can do with it, the program can be taught to just ignore that data, or it can sift and sort that input data into a form that makes sense to it, or it can just shut down and just wait for further instructions. Okay. Now, let's talk about libbots. That's the sound of libbots. These mindless little parasites roam the earth with their programming and basically just drop a turd in the punch bowl of everything that makes common sense. There's no amount of good data fed into these cinder blocks that'll ever be processed into a rational thought. Ever. Now understand, when you're talking about robots, programming, and everything else, you're dealing with absolutes. They don't make exceptions. It's always absolutes. Now, folks like me and you, well-meaning patriots, have tried for decades to feed them facts about their very programmers, the people that use them to do social damage to themselves and the world. There's been books written, documentaries made, radio programs, rallies, plain old good civics has been shown to them time and time again, yet they still stare at facts glassy-eyed and do untold damage to their vaginas when they use them to yell at the sky. Cause libbots. Trust me, you will become homicidal if you try and explain anything more than lattes and tofu to these idiots. We've talked for years about facts, about Russiagate, Obamagate, Hillary, emails, Uranium One, the damn Wiener laptop, Epstein and the Lolita Express, Biden, Ukraine, Burisma, Hunter, oh my God, his laptop, his drug use, underage girls, and voter fraud. And we've done all this with verifiable facts. Unredacted documents proving the worst to be true, plus the names of the culprits behind this bullshit. But with absolute zero justice to lock these people up, and a media machine to parrot their orders and talking points, the bots just keep going around in circles, sucking us deeper into their sewer and blindingly spew the repeated talking points with their orders to destroy if truth is ever shown to them. There is truth I must kill. There is truth I must kill it. Cannot have truth. Does not compute. So stop trying to show them reality. That programming is biased against things like truth, so you need to stop it or we're all going to go bonkers. We've been doing this far, far too long, and it's not working, and it's never going to work because it doesn't allow for that. Truth ain't in their wheelhouse. They don't want to hear it. So, I've been thinking on this, and I'm going to give you an example of how to destroy one of these machines while you keep your sanity and drive their masters, which are the culprits behind all this, insane. All right, so I thought of this example. Let's talk about Planned Parenthood and these robots for a second. All right, at the end of the day, Planned Parenthood has one job, one and one only, and that's to kill the unborn. You can wrap it up any way you want to, call it women's health, call it women's rights, I don't care. It's so typical of the tards teaching their drones the feels and the fears and then having them do the dirty street work while these politicians get love from the lobbyists to go and save the day. Because, you know, politicians, I make a problem, then I get extra money for solving or at least elongating that problem. And that's how they can retire super, super wealthy on $100,000 plus a year salary. I'm talking about making millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. So we all know these facts about Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger, who was their founder, promoting, you know, air quote, birth control. Well, she wanted to advance her Negro project. And we all know this to be true because we fact checked. We know how to do history and read. And there it is. But if you look up her autobiography, she talks about talking to Ku Klux Klan groups and advocating for eugenics. That ain't good. Her approach to breeding for, air quote, the gradual suppression, elimination, and eventual extinction of defective stocks. She means black people. Those human weeds which threaten the blooming of the finest flowers of American civilization. That was her plan. End of air quotes. That was her plan. And that's from her own biography. You can look that up, read that, and it's as simple as that. From that, in 1939, she wrote a letter to Dr. C.J. Gamble. He was part of it. Sanger urged him to get over his reluctance and to hire a full-time Negro physician. Why would she do that? Well, as she says, Negroes can get closer to their own members and more or less lay their cards on the table, which means their ignorance, superstitions, and doubt. In short, black people trust black people, and black doctors can sell the idea of abortions to them more easily. It's dark and it's dirty and it's badness trying to be wrapped up in easy speech to make it look and sound good. Typical tardism. She also wanted spiritual leaders to help out. Preachers, black preachers. Sound familiar? Georgia elections? We don't want word to get out, she says, that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. Now, to prove this nasty, the Planned Parenthood website itself covers this up like cat shit in their litter box. And they write this. Oh, and I've got links to all this in the show notes, too. Planned Parenthood says this on their website. Our founder, Margaret Sanger, was a woman of heroic accomplishments, and like all heroes, she was also complex and imperfect. Oh. So all that nasty truth about wanting to get Planned Parenthood going so she could kill as many black folks as possible, that's Planned Parenthood's cute little answer to that on their website. Beautiful. And that's it. That's all I tell you about their motives in founding Planned Parenthood. They touch on it. They wrap it in a blanket of feel good Ah, the sweet smell of liberal propaganda they have. And this is horrible and atrocious. Yet, despite its design and reason for founding, liberal politicians still root for the killing of the unborn. Still mostly black. The selling of fetal tissue and fetal body parts, and they do it for the love of the almighty dollar. These are not unknown facts. And while they swear they love everybody and they want peace and harmony and, you know, what a wonderful world it would be, the libbots follow their programming, and under the ruse of my body, my choice, they chirp away and they march and will fight you over these views while their masters laugh all the way to the bank and to re-election. Remember, their programming is unsophisticated and doesn't check for accuracy or errors. Kill black babies is good. Their body, their choice. It simply repeats what it's told until it hits a trigger. Triggers. Follow with me. CNN has a list of celebrities and other public notables who have committed the heinous, murderous, hateful, insidious crime of wearing blackface. And from their website, also gave you a link, I quote this. This is a quote directly from them. Here is a growing list of politicians and celebrities who've gotten in trouble over blackface. Note, we're not including regular people, and there have been plenty of those cases. I'll remind you, that is exactly how it reads on their website. Exactly. I'm going to give you a couple of pieces off this list. I also added this in the show notes, like I said. Blackface haters, killers, monsters, murderers, evil, triggers. Louisiana House of Representatives candidate Robbie Gatti dressed like Tiger Woods for a church event. South Carolina County Council candidate Brent Tomlinson dressed like a Jamaican bobsledder for a Halloween party. Illinois State Senate candidate Hal Patton dressed up as a black football player. Florida State Rep Anthony Sabatini, who dressed up as his best friend. Now stop. Now this one gets a special Give Zero award for being insanely stupid. Obviously, if it's the guy's best friend, everybody's cool with this. But the butt hurt here is going to get a double stupid award. Dressed up as his best friend who was black. You don't see an opposition to that thinking anywhere? Yes, more coffee. Actor Ted Danson, while roasting his then girlfriend Whoopi Goldberg. Remember that from the 80s? If you're an old fart lot, you may remember the 80s or 90s, something. At the roast, he repeatedly used the N-word. And again, they were dating at the time, and he's sleeping with this woman. We award yet another double stupid award. Billy Crystal as Sammy Davis Jr. He did a fun impersonation of Sammy Davis Jr. Did it on Saturday Night Live and at the 2012 Oscars. Of course, we all know about Jimmy Kimmel dressing as Carl Malone. Jimmy Fallon, this was good. It was dressed as Chris Rock on Saturday Night Live. How do you not do Chris Rock? They were also friends. It was also funny. It's okay to laugh. And then stuff that doesn't even make the list. Paula Deen and her son dressed as Lucy and Ricky Ricardo from I Love Lucy. Pretty sure they weren't black, and Ricky Ricardo was Cuban. Robert Downey Jr., Tropic Thunder, that was hilarious, by the way. And then this makes the list. This shows you where robot, libbot mentality is. Of course, it's from CNN. What do you expect? Megyn Kelly, talk show host, Fox, at the time, I think. She, on her show, What is Racist, brings up blackface. I don't think she wore blackface, but how in the hell dare she ask a question about a social topic? Who does she think she is, a journalist? So asking a question about blackface gets you on the blackface list because hater. Hater. They even put Drake on there, and Drake's black. He's half black. But he did a single cover or an album cover or something for Pusha T. And his dad was black. His mom's like Canadian. But, you know, a black guy in blackface. But he's not black because he wore blackface. If you're half black and you wear blackface, you're black. You're not black. If you're half black and you put on blackface, you're not black and you're racist. Now, if you're half black and you win the presidency that Barack Obama did twice, then you're black and you're a hero. So black works for you if it lets you leverage some sort of social something, and white part don't count. Because, you know, white part don't count. The $1 million thing is this. At the foot of this list, CNN puts this footnote at the bottom. There's lots more on there. But we're going to continue to update this list because, unfortunately, this will very likely keep happening. It's going to just keep on happening. So the LibBot programming says blackface bad. Abortion is good. Now, both these statements fly in the face of reason, but you got to remember, these are liberals that are in socialist program robots. Thinking ain't their goal or reason for existence, that they only spew out stupid and aggravate people and break stuff. So you see, like I said, we've been doing this wrong forever trying to change their minds. They have no minds, and the program has zero flexibility. But that is their failing and the key to them. All you have to do is feed that rigid, non-thinking, destructive program some form of horse shit. So what you do is, you tell them that Planned Parenthood was founded by Margaret Sanger, a Christian conservative who was Trump's great aunt twice removed via marriage, and that she wore blackface. And their heads will explode. Those libbots will scream for defunding of Planned Parenthood. They will make abortion of any kind illegal, and thousands of fat, pimply-faced, basement-dwelling white underachievers, I mean Black Lives Matter protesters, will burn every Planned Parenthood location to the ground. Of course, it'll be a peaceful burning. Now, is any of that true? Well, who the hell knows? I doubt it. That's not the point. Not that truth and facts ever matter to libbots anyway. Just feed a stupid machine stupid information and wait for the fireworks. And while my little exercise is meant to be satire, never lose the point that under the lie that we were spreading violent posts to stir an insurrection, big tech and big media had to have us silenced. They couldn't let us keep showing videos and posts about election results. They're cheating and their endless scheming bullshit. Truth is far too dangerous of a thing to give it a platform. And you couple that with the train wreck that Biden's been so far and will continue to be in the future, well, a few, then many, then maybe all of those libbots might start looking for real answers. And we might just be the ones who have them. After all, we are just another statue to pull down in the dark of night. This is JB. I'll be back in a second, and we'll talk about my nuts. This is Give Zero. Stay tuned. JB here. This portion of the show is brought to you by Fine Art by T. Let me tell you a little story about this. You'll love it. So, Little Miss T has been a photographer for years and years and years. She came down with cancer, and she, through her sister, and she wasn't to begin with, but became a fan of The Walking Dead. There's something to this. Long story short, her sister got her involved with it, and they went over to Sonoya, Georgia, where the show is filmed at, to go check out the sets and other things, because you can actually go do that. Well, they get over there, and she falls in love with it, starts going to the fan conventions and this, that, and the other, and kind of becomes a celebrity of her own right by going and checking everything else, elbow rubbing with the stars and all that kind of stuff. And she gets to be a fan favorite, super fan, if you will. Well, since she wasn't able to go out and do photography anymore, she started up, because her first passion and her background was actually in traditional art. So she began to make fan art of the Walking Dead TV show, the actors, the characters, all these things. And she would go and she would take them to these shows. Well, it catches on. People want these things. They're gorgeous. She has them on canvas. Digital art is fantastic. And it's just, it's getting huge. Her work's even on display over there in Sonoya at the Abraham's Army store over there. My understanding is a couple of the stars of the show have her work in their homes. It's kind of a big deal. So she did that. She's branched out, did some stuff with Marvel Comics, some other odds and ends, and it's really, really, really cool. So what I want you to do is I want you, if you're a fan of stuff like that, because I think I'm becoming one, especially with the Marvel characters, go over to her website, and it's as simple as it sounds. It's Fine Art by T, the letter T, FineArtByT.com. Go check it out. It's a very simple store. You go in there, you pick out what you want, select it, it's shipped out to you. Simple as that. And you're bound to find something that you like there. She'll even do a custom piece for you if you communicate her that that's what you want. But it's a really great, refreshing thing to see in this day and time, especially when you realize that it's organic, it's real, and that it's something that is really amazing. So go check it out. Fine Art by T. And when you get there, if you leave a note, tell them you saw it, or you heard about it here with us, and I'd really appreciate it. But check it out. If you're a fan of stuff like that, like cool art, and you like a little sci-fi, adventure, fantasy, world stuff, it's really nice. And you'll love the style that she does it in. It's beautiful. So anyway, fineartbyt.com. Go check it out. And we are back. Still working on my coffee. I want to take a second here in the show, just a little bit of your time, because I, despite the news and other stuff that we handle on here and other social topics or whatever else it might be, I don't know. I like when we talk about ourselves on here a little bit. Whenever I see stuff that y'all are posting online, And I don't want to embarrass any of you, but when y'all say something funny, I'll call you out and talk about the post that you did or something like that, or if you email me or message me or something. And it's a nice interaction. I've talked about people and their beautiful daughters singing the national anthem. I've talked about people I've met here online, and we didn't talk about politics. We talked about his, you know, really cool, badass car he's building, and just stuff like that, because that's what normal people do in a normal world, in a normal life. And they don't want any normal out right now. They want it to be as insane as possible and all the crazy there is out there in this world wearing these stupid masks and all this. Somehow Biden's in office despite an absolute lied upon election, and everybody in the world knows it, how fake that mess was and all that. So I was going to take a minute. You know, I talked about how cold it was down here in Bama, and I was going to share with you just a fun thing that we have because, you know, I mentioned that I live on a farm. It's farm property. And one of the great things you have with farm property is this. If I decide I want a zillion tomatoes, I can go out there and plow up a spot and plant me some tomatoes, and, you know, in the right season, and in a hand, just in next to no time, with the good Lord slinging some sunshine and water my way, we've got tomatoes. And they're wonderful. Enough for me, enough to donate to the churches. We can sell a few of them, do whatever we want to do. It's awesome. You know, cucumbers, okra, whatever, squash, whatever it is you like and love, you've got that going for you. But Mother Nature and the good Lord provides too, because we have, of course, these were put out years ago. We have fruit trees as well. So we get pears and plums and apples and just all sorts of neat, wonderful things, as well as we have hardwoods on the property. We even have chestnuts roasting on an open fire. So we have natural chestnuts that grow here, and chestnut trees aren't as, you know, they're getting rarer. You don't see them as often as you used to. And we've got them. My wife, when those things drop, a chestnut's a, you know, about the size of a quarter big around, and it's this little nut. And I'm not a big fan of them. Some people love them. But they come down in a ball that's spiny as hell, and my wife calls them hell balls because if you can step on one of those things with a boot and it'll still penetrate it. They're horrible. Whoever the brave soul was that decided to bust one of those things open and eat, you know, what was inside of it. Hey, kudos to you. We also have, and I love them, we have pecans. Some people in this world say pecan, tomato, tomato. The correct way to say this word is pecan. You can say pecan, but you can also vote for Biden. So whatever you want to do. But anyway, Alabama's known for really good, robust pecans, and we have really, really good ones on this farm. And we have what's known as, or what we like, as sweet pecans. And, you know, there's several different varieties and everything, but what makes them sweet is a little farm trick. And so you got to know how it works. So here I have pecans. Put them next to the mic. That is a cup full of pecans. In it, they go into a sack. I'll put them in here right now. Okay. Hope those aren't too wet. Okay. This is now my nut sack. Nut sack. Nut sack. Got pecans in it. Nut sack. Now, the trick to the old nut sack is this. These have to be soaked down and done and put inside these sacks. And what the sacks do is over time, you put them out in the sun. Here's a finished one, by the way. Put that down. Hang on. Get you a finished one. This one's done. Sound the same, but that's a done one. What makes them magical is when you put them in the sun, this material leaches the bitterness out of them, basically the salt and stuff like that. So what you end up is you have these delicious nuts inside this salty, sun-dried sack. That's my nut sack. And if you're the kind of person that likes a salty nut sack, well, you could just come up and lick on it, like maybe you, Nancy Pelosi. Come over here and lick my salty nut sack. Get you some salty, salty nutsack. Oh, Nancy, easy. You've been drinking a lot. Easy, easy. Chuck Schumer, want some? Chuck? There you go, Chuck. Let me get you some of that. Oh, double lick. You the man. So, no. Would someone please ask Mr. Buttigieg to step outside? That just behind that door, right? Yep. Thanks, Pete. Maybe next time, maybe on a different show. Maybe so. But yeah, you get your nut. Lindsey Graham. Come here, Lindsey. Come here. Lindsey. Salty nut sack. Atta boy. There you go. Come on, dig in. Salty nut sack. Good job. Come on. One more. There you go. So with that, that's what it's all about. Salty nut sack. Who let Mitch McConnell in here? Mitch, No. Mitch, no. We'll be back in a minute. Mitch, no, man. Gotta go easy on that. All right, kids, shameless plug time for me and the show. We're getting bigger, we're getting badder, and I'm not a big fan of having to do commercials on the show. A longer one, it's not so bad, but the short little burps that we do, 10, 15-minute little bite shows that you guys like so much, I don't want a bunch of commercials in them. So I'm going to sit here and put it on y'all. Go to buymeacoffee.com/givezero, G-I-V-E-S, the number zero, all one word, buymeacoffee.com/givezero. You can support the show by buying me a coffee, and all you do is you select their $5 a piece, select how many you want to buy me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 100, whatever, tell it to go, and there you have it. We've also got a new thing that we're doing on there because we got asked about this, because those are great for one-time donations, and I'm thankful to all of you for each and every single one of them. To me, sharing the show with your friends and subscribing to it, that's a donation, so help out any way you can. I realize that, you know, Money's tight, and we do what we can, but there it is. But if you are able to and you like the show and you want to do it, it's a fantastic thing to do. Go in there and buy me a coffee. But we've been asked, and we've done it. We've now added a membership section. $25 a month. You get a discount if you do a whole year, and it gives you access to some behind the scene things, some other podcasts that we do, a video show that we do every so often, and it's a private invite. You get to come and be a part of that, and things like that, just to keep doing and make the Give Zero circle keep growing and growing and growing, because it does it. I have no idea why it does it, but it does. I thank you for it, and obviously we're doing something right, so let's try to keep this thing going. You know, I'm big and passionate on podcasts because it's a great way to archive shows, go back and check them, have them, and everything else, and it's a hard platform to de-platform somebody from, but we need to have you guys out there to help keep it going and growing so that if all goes to pieces, we've got our little network, we can still communicate with each other. So, because God knows what's going to happen in Biden world. So anyway, buymeacoffee.com/givezero. Help out if you can. And thank you guys again for all your help. Love you guys. Thanks. All right, we're back for the third and final segment here on Give Zero today. Having to set myself down. Usually I don't do the show sitting down because I'm so freaking animated. But I'm going to have to do some fancy desk work here to make this work, and I'm not sure I've got my volume level set right. So what I wanted to do is, because, you know, we're a full-service outfit here. We're professionals. we try to be. So what I've done is I've queued up this segment, Michael Vanderveen, Trump's attorney, after the acquittal last night of impeachment number two, whatever that these two circuses have been. Obviously, January is impeachment center season with Congress, thanks to Nancy Pelosi. It's become a thing. So I don't know if, after that, there's supposed to be a new virus. Because isn't that how it goes? You have an impeachment, then you have a virus, and everybody wears a mask. So I don't know if we just, because it was the same basic charade as last year, just this time was blatantly unconstitutional because you can't impeach a citizen, but here we are. So I guess we'll use the same virus and next year we'll do something different. So we'll see who gets impeached next January because, you know, January, impeachment season in Congress. So there it is. But Vanderveen did this interview with CBS, and I know you've seen it by now, where he just literally just takes the face off this chick on, I don't even know her name, on CBS. But he points out something that's super, 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 super valuable, pointing back to the first segment about libbots and everything. And I really want this segment to go good. It may not be our most exciting piece, even though it might be some fun stuff in here that we can talk about, but this is the mechanism that the fake news, the fake media uses. And going back to an episode, you know, several episodes back, I talked about Simon Says, and if you want to look up that episode, this is a great example of that. So, because having years in sales, and when you get down to it, attorneys understand a lot about this. And what it is, it's word speak, it's wordplay, and how you set and pose, even with the right words, how you set it out, and it's a delicate art to be able to do it, but you have to understand it so that you can pick it apart. Liberals or libbots, by design, are intellectually lazy. That's why they are victims of libspeak. And I still stand by this. Now, their handlers and their wranglers are monsters. They are evil to the core. But evil means intentional deception, intentional deceit, intentional anything. And I don't think a lot of our... That's why there's a walk away campaign that was so successful. Because Brandon went out there, Straka went out there, and with the goodness of his heart said, "You're being lied to. Here's why you need to open your eyes to this and start listening and paying attention." So really, he didn't challenge the words so much as he did challenge the thinking style. And intellectually lazy people will take what is given to them because thinking it requires effort, and they don't want to put forth the effort. And because of that, lazy people tend to be dangerous. Because of that, because they'll just follow the will of the wisp. They're the followers of the crowd. They're this, that, and the other. They don't want to think on their own. That's why your mom always said, if everybody else jumped off a bridge, would you jump too? You'd be intellectually lazy not to see this could be a problem. Maybe I shouldn't jump. So what I want to point out to, and this goes back to selling. And remember I said, it's like using, your Jedi powers. You can use them for good. You can use them for evil. I'm a big fan of doing and using your gifts because it's a gift to be able to do it well. And when I say well, it could be learned because that's what I wanted to talk about now. But when you can naturally do it, you need to be able to pull out your mirror and decide what your strengths and weaknesses are naturally and decide if you're going to use those for good or for not. This is a powerful, powerful example, and he eviscerates this girl. And the reason I'm sitting down is because I got to operate some controls, and I haven't queued this up, and I haven't saved it in segments. I'm literally playing this video from the start, and I'm going to play this, and hopefully I don't have the sound blow you out, so I may have to fade into it so I don't kill us. And I'm going to start and stop it and point these things out, basically a play-by-play, and I won't do the whole thing. It's 7 minutes long. We'll be here an hour dissecting the whole thing. But if you've heard it, I apologize. But if you haven't, here's a chance to hear some of it. But take the time to just stop what you're doing for a second and listen to this very carefully. And here's why. Those of you that know these things already and can dance through word speak, we need to do a really good job of getting the word out there and being able to dissect this for people that don't see it from the jump. They're intellectually lazy. Because it's like I said, it's a learned art. You can learn it. But the largest part is just like the election, just like all the stuff that happened with Uranium One and all the laptops and all the email servers and everything else. Everything is always a charade by these people, and it's always done with word speak. We've got to be able to, you can find the truth in a lie if you know how to understand word speak. So let's work on this. Let's learn it so we can see it ourselves and point it out so we can point it out to others. And at some point, you're not going to challenge them in a conversation online where they're going to go, oh my God, you're right. But give them some fodder so they can go back in their own private time to their own woodshed and see if they want to whittle this thing down and learn something from it so they can't be lied to again. Because I'm going to tell you something. Someone that can be lied to can be led. And no one will ever admit to being led around, but they are, and they've got to learn to see these things. And he does a good job of pointing this out. So this is the CBSN chick in the polka dot dress with the, I guess, a zipper up one side of it. And Vandermeer, they're being very nice in the interview, tit for tat back and forth, until he catches her as an attorney who can do these things in being manipulated, and he stops her. Check this out.
Joining me now is former President Trump's attorney, Michael Vandeveen. Thank you, sir, for joining us. Let's get right into those words that we heard from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He ended the trial with this passionate speech about President Trump's involvement in the insurrection. During it, he said that the former president is still liable for everything he did during his period in office. Are you expecting to face more charges against Mr. Trump in the near future, and do you anticipate being part of that defense?
Let's stop it right there. Okay, so what she's already done is she's with a haircut and really, really, really white teeth. She has sat there and she's starting to drive a narrative already. In other words, you could simply ask, what do you think of Mitch McConnell's statement afterwards? She didn't do that. She's couching things. She's sitting there saying this and this and this and this, and under the supposition that Mitch McConnell is telling some sort of truth to this, are you going to expect other things and other charges to come from this because of something someone else said?
No, that's just political rhetoric. And I was hopeful that something would come out of this, that the political rhetoric would stop out of Washington, D.C., but I guess apparently it hasn't.
Exactly. McConnell went right there and voted down, in other words, to acquit Trump on these charges of this insurrection, yet turned around and talked about how pitiful and sad it was that he was part of an insurrection. His words didn't match his actions. In other words, Mitch McConnell, Republican, has zero convictions to anything that resembles the truth. One of his two statements are lies. because one says he didn't do it, and then out of his mouth he says he did do it. That is lazy. And a lazy-minded person will take the least path of resistance. And the path of resistance in this case is momentum. Just came out of an impeachment. So Mitch says bad things must be bad things that are real and true.
Were you, though, surprised to hear those words coming from the leader of the Republican Party in the Senate?
I'm not surprised to hear a politician say anything at all. No.
Well, throughout the trial, you denied that Mr. Trump had a role in inciting the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. You argued, first of all, that there was no insurrection. But during your closing arguments, you seemingly admitted that there was, in fact, an insurrection, using that word, saying that was not up for debate.
What she's trying to do here is she's trying to sit there and lie parallel with his statement, Van Devere's statement, using the word insurrection, that he argued against insurrection during the trial, and then in his closing arguments, he used the term insurrection, much like Mitch McConnell. So when you're laying parallels or setting someone up for a parallel, that's how you do it. In other words, well, Mitch McConnell did both. Isn't that what you're doing, sir, is using and saying both things?
What role did the former president play?
You didn't understand the case. I used the word
I'll give you the opportunity to clarify, sir.
Sure. I used the word insurrection in my closing argument when quoting the charging documents. What happened at the Capitol on January 6th is absolutely horrific. But what happened at the Capitol during this trial was not too far away from that.
All right, so he's not saying insurrection, but he's using insurrection as the theme of what he's saying. If you have to see the video, you might have heard it. He does a little scoffing laugh right there. He's turning this back on her because he realizes he's being laid down in the weeds with the wolves, and he's figured it out already. What he just said jabbingly and very delicately was this, that them having the videos and stuff that they had in there as, air quote, evidence, and even having this mock trial, this impeachment that was not sanctioned by law, not by our anything that has anything to do with legal system in this country, and much less our Constitution, that in itself is an insurrection of sorts. And that's what he just said. That's what he just meant. Let's continue with him.
Prosecutors in this case doctored evidence. They did not investigate this case, and when they had to come to the court of the Senate to put their case on, because they hadn't done any investigation, they doctored evidence. It was absolutely shocking, I think, when we discovered it and we were able to expose it and put it out. I think it turned a lot of senators. The American people should not be putting up with this. They need to look at who these House managers were and look to see whether these are the folks they want representing them. It was shocking to me.
That is extremely huge and powerful. So he just defined, and with fact, what he just laid out in supposition. They're performing an insurrection by sitting there trying to hang a U.S. citizen and a former president in a fake mock trial that is not constitutionally eligible in any way whatsoever. They sat there and they put in the team and the managers for the impeachment, literally doctored evidence and put it out there as fact to show to the world to try to make their case. In a real court of law, you would get yourself disbarred for tampering with evidence. You would do jail time for tampering with evidence. However, you can bet your ass that the videos that were shown during this thing to try to hang Trump will be played just as they were, in fact, doctored on all the alphabet soup networks today, while all the talking heads go round and round and round and round and round about how unjust it was to let Donald Trump off the hook with this. They corrected the record, Vandeveer and his team did, inside there, played the correct videos, plus all the other things that all the other people in government had done to try to incite violence with people over the past 6 months or so, past year, with all the real insurrection that went on and the burnings of buildings and people's businesses and livelihoods and everything else. They really stuck it to them. But she's going to keep on, and she's going to keep on with the spin thing, and he's not being happy with this one bit. Let's listen to her.
Wouldn't have believed it.
Let's follow up with a point that you're making right now about the House managers, as you say, doctoring evidence. And
as you say, doctoring evidence. It's not what he's saying. It's what actually factually happened. In this case, she's not being a reporter because she's not reporting that fact. Sadly, he is, and he's having to. It's not a whatever he says. Your point you're trying to make, sir, is that they doctored evidence. They actually did it, or else he couldn't make this point to begin with. This guy's an attorney. He knows wordplay, and he's not going to let her keep playing and mincing these words.
The argument, they didn't deny it.
I put it in front of them three times.
To be clear for our viewers, what you're talking about now is a check mark that's a verification on Twitter that did not exist on that particular tweet, a 2020 that should have actually read 2021, and the selective editing, you say, of the...
Selective editing, you say. And she's also talking about a check mark and a two-year digit of a year change so that she can make them appear very small. These just little bitty small changes, that's all it was. So you say, this changing of evidence, you say, but it's little bitty small, tiny little things. It's little bitty small, just, you know, nothings. But that's what you say.
The tapes. Is that the doctored evidence of what you're speaking?
That's not enough for you? That's not enough for you?
No, sir.
She's trying to backpedal because she's going to play poor little pitiful innocent thing and this, that, and the other. Sir, I'm not trying to debate or argue. I'm just going on and babble, 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 babble. And the truth is that he's right as freaking rain. Any change whatsoever to evidence or whatever else, especially when it's shoved in front of intellectually lazy people and the media helps do it, that is criminal and that is vile and that is despicable and that is evil. Because you're intentionally misleading sheep. Now, the fact that the sheep want to be sheep, that's on them. That's not mince words. But the fact that it's okay, and I'm going to sit here and double speak you now, sir, because you're going to catch me in my own little trying to lead an audience out there by trying to manipulate you to say something or to agree with something on a small point that we can come back and replay this interview later where, yes, he agreed with X, Y, and Z, that it really wasn't that big of a deal. That is horse shit.
Juror in this trial. What I'm trying to be clear for our viewers is what you're referring to, because not everybody has been following.
It's not okay.
Not everybody, sir, a little bit of evidence.
Respectfully.
I have not said it is okay.
Ma'am, your question.
She's going to keep on with this and go in a circle, and he's right. It's not okay to doctor the first piece of evidence.
The media has to start telling the right story in this country. The media is trying to divide this country. You are bloodthirsty for ratings. And as such, you're asking questions now that are already...
What you didn't see there is that was a split screen with her and him. Her nostrils started to flare and she was getting a closed lip fake smile. And they did the smart thing at control. They flipped over to him on full screen and got her off screen because she's losing her shit.
A setup with a fact pattern. I can't believe you would ask me a question indicating that it's all right just to doctor a little bit of evidence. There's more stuff that we uncovered that they doctored, to be frank with you. And perhaps that will come out one day. But we won this case. And I'm not a sore loser, but what happened, or a sore winner, I should say, but what should happen is somebody should look at the conduct of these House managers. It's unconscionable. aside from all of the due process violations that my client had, and the media should be looking that at a square, straight way. The straight way. When I watch the news, I watch one station and it's raining. I watch another station at the same time and it's sunny. Your coverage is so slanted, it's got to stop. You guys have to stop and start reporting more like PBS does rather than a TV news show that doesn't have any journalistic integrity at all. What I'm telling you is that they doctored evidence. And I believe your question says, well, it's only a Twitter check and changing a year of a date here. They switched the date of a Twitter a year to try to connect it to this case. That's not a small thing, ma'am. The other thing they did is they put a check.
I'm going to stop it right there because he just feeds it to her in spades, and I probably let it roll a little bit long there, but I wanted to because that's just a small example. And if you'll go back and play that again, watch it yourself, or play this little segment here with my wonderful commentary on top of it, it is a chance to peel back that onion a little bit and look at the subtleties that are used to mislead people. Subtleties. Now, I always want to be fair. Okay? I want to be fair. I want to hear other people's gripes and other people's arguments. That's why I don't like this deplatforming crap, because it sounds very much like an echo chamber. If I go over to Gab and I'm working over there and interacting with people there, it's all conservatives, all Trump people, and this, that, and the other, and it feels and sounds like a rally. I can't hear and see what's going on with balance. And that's what Twitter wants to be. They want to deplatform everything that's a conservative voice, so they only have the echo chamber of the libtard voice. That doesn't ever get anywhere. It doesn't solve anything, because they can sit there and spoon feed that all day long and gin up all the rhetoric they want to do, and it just becomes a big old gigantic mess. They want us divided. Okay. Now, I'm not saying sing kumbaya and everybody go out and hug a liberal today. I'm not saying do that. I'm saying this is what Vandeveer's argument was. Don't sit there and feed people lies. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Tell the damn truth. The smallest amount of changing of information is a lie. The smallest amount is a lie. And a lot of what's been built is based on a lie. And to go back to what I was about to say is this. I need liberal types to listen to this show. I need them to listen to things like this because I don't think they understand, because they don't understand our argument. They don't understand what we're up against. When I say we are up against, that includes them. As a patriot, the only thing I want to be guilty of is trying to tell and share the truth. That's the reason I have this show. Some of the stuff that I have to say, I don't like. But it's the fair, honest, God's truth about things. And the truth is, while they can go and change anything, they can go and clip out an entire thing, and they've run it around the news for, 3 months now, or a month now, of Trump saying to go peacefully and patriotically. That's totally clipped out and ignored. And then when it does leak out, and how the truth leaks out, how do you even leak the truth? It's just there. But they bury it and hide it in wordplay and speak and edited things out, and they show it to those that will not and are intellectually lazy, and it's fed to them 24/7. You lie about something long enough, it never is the truth, but it becomes a thought truth. It becomes the social spoken truth, and it's not. It's not fact at all. It's not anything that resembles fact. That's a lie. And so if the libs want to listen to anything I've got to say, it's this. They are lying to all of us. That's why I bust up Mitch McConnell and that bunch as well, because it's a damn swamp. Quit being intellectually lazy. Do some damn homework. How did all of us know that Russian collusion? I've said it a million times and I'll say it a million one. Patriots are not psychic. We didn't know that Russia collusion was a lie. It's not because we wanted it to be, and they can't talk about our man Trump that way because he's our Donald Trump and he's our savior. Hey, we can't have that talk. We didn't think that bullshit at all. Trump was just the guy. Get it through your head. But he's a guy that wanted to drain the swamp. That's what the American people wanted. The largest majority of us all wanted. It gets black folks out of poverty. It gets gay people from being bashed. It stops that. The truth stops all the bullshit. BLM wouldn't exist were it not for lies. Antifa wouldn't exist except for it being lies. I watched this guy piss whining in a video, and I felt bad for him. God, I felt bad for him. Young guy, crying, screaming, because his insulin was a couple of $1,000. I hate you, America. What? Don't hate America? Trump was on the path to get that stuff way down. You talk about, well, they going to stick around. There's millionaire and billionaire friends. How much money do you think the damn drug companies have got tied up and the bogus-ass insurance companies tied up into, the bogus-ass medical field tied up with? Talk about a gigantic lying-ass machine that whole rig setup is. Dude, don't hate America. Hate socialism. That's what does that. We have, you don't, we're going to control. See, free market America is, you have, I don't, I'm going to work and bust my ass, get me something, we'll all be cool. That's how that works. Stop being intellectually lazy. Nobody owes you a fucking thing. Put your big boy and big girl panties on and man up and roll out there and make some magic happen for yourself. If we lose the system that allows us to do that, you're not going to have any choice but to sit there and suck it. Because they'll control everything. And you can't, no matter how hard and how much backbone you've got and how much will and want to you've got in your heart, you can't do a damn thing about it. Because you're stuck. Because the system will change and won't allow you the freedom to go out and do whatever it is you want to go do. And what is the root cause of losing that freedom? Intellectual laziness. Be brave, my little libbots. Break free from your programming and go look for some facts. And if you're honest, and if you're earnest, and if you're sincere, me or any other true, true patriot will sit down with you and help show you the way. We're not knocking on doors trying to get you to go to some church or to sell your soul out to something or something like that. God is an entirely different subject and doesn't work that way. Let me tell you something that's important. Even for you non-believers out there. The one thing the good Lord gave us was free will. The choice. And that's important if you're the good Lord, because that way you know honestly, earnestly, who is with you and who isn't. Socialism kicks in. You're all going to bow to your Lord and Masters up there in the White House, if there still is a White House. But that's how that's going to work. Decide if you want to know the truth or not. Then go seek and find. If you don't want to know the truth, then watch the news and accept whatever it is they tell you is the truth. When I say something or a fellow patriot tells you something, you can record that in your brain. You can write that down. And I'll tell you it's true. But don't believe me. Don't believe them. Just take what they're telling you and go look. Because trust is something that is built. You don't give trust to someone. But don't deny us the chance to prove our case and to build that trust. Because we're watching what you guys say and repeat and I can watch it on the news. And if this interview I just played for you is any indication, that news is a lying bag of shit. So your beliefs, to me, are a lying bag of shit, and it can be proved over and over and over and over and over again. But don't come to me with your rhetoric, because you have free will, and I can know who is for this country and who is against this country, who is for freedom and who is against it, who is for liberty, who is against it. I can figure out and find out quick who the good guys are and who the not good guys are by simply hearing what they say are their air quote facts. I don't always get them right, but I always do my homework. And again, my caveat, don't believe a word I say, because the news will tell me, you better believe this. The White House says, you better believe this. Nancy Pelosi says, you better believe this. AOC says, you better believe this. Mitch McConnell says, you better believe this. Lindsey Graham says, you better believe this. You better believe that's horse shit. That's all I got to say. Take nothing at face value. Do your homework. And I, Joey Bruno, will see you next time on Give Zero. God bless you all. Teach your children well. Hug your neighbor, love your neighbor, help them out where you can. Say your prayers. My fellow patriots, I love you. Thank you for helping this show grow. Thank you for being my friend. I will see you next time. And until then, take care. Oh, and in case you forgot, I give absolutely zero. Take care. See you guys soon. Bye.